You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, kia ora, everybody. Thanks for the invitation, Laura.
You're welcome.
To 95BFM that I've never heard of, but it's not a university radio station. About myself, I live at Whangaparaoa, with my seven cats, and I decided to run for mayor because I was upset about the government's relatively pathetic climate plan, according to my thinking. And also, I didn't like the fact that after Auckland Council said they weren't going to put any more concrete in Waitemata Harbour, they then said, yes, we're going to do that. And also, I didn't like the fact that there's still plastic bags around the streets where our rubbish is being picked up, and so on and so forth. So it was climate, environment that kind of thought, well, I'll have a go too. At least I can make a noise about these issues, you know, even if it would have to be a miracle to win the thing, but that's all fine. You know, that's up to the universe and the voter. So there we are.
Very true. I guess in terms of being a mayor, what kind of qualities are you looking for in a mayor, and do you think you bring those to the table?
For me, the most important quality in any person is integrity, which is connected to kindness. So that's what I look for in people, regardless of whether they're in politics or doing the cleaning or whatever. It doesn't make any difference to me. I mean, I guess they'd have to be efficient, not waste people's money, but that goes with integrity. And I'd also, if I'm a voter, I'm looking for policies that I'm comfortable with, as I've just similar ones to which I've described, plus people who actually care about those who suffer in our society, not just pandering to the rich and the corporate and all that rubbish.
So in terms of policies then, I know you kind of briefly touched on a few that you were talking about, but if you were elected, what are kind of the three or five main policies that you'd want to implement?
Oh, well, my first one's definitely to do with the climate. So I'd be looking to the transport, which most of the major amount of emissions in Auckland come from that, and it's a major national problem as well. So that would be electrifying the buses, cancelling all Gough's diesel bus orders. There's only three electric buses in Auckland, which I think is appalling. We're in the middle of a climate emergency, and hey guys, what are you doing? No climate plan yet. So the climate, my idea is to slow down the cars and trucks and vans, which are the main problem, create safe, unimpeded bicycle and bus lanes here, and electric buses, and to take care of the pedestrians. I wouldn't have any Lime scooters running into people, or somebody actually got killed on one the other day, or at least we heard about it the other day. So that's no. I want people to have a peaceful, safe life, and to be free of all this pollution and traffic madness. Okay, so that's the first one.
Do you think there is the infrastructure in place in Auckland to be able to manage a complete shift towards electric buses?
Well, to get an electric bus, you just have to buy them. When I say just, it costs a lot of money, so there's a cost involved, but I think the national government should be doing that too, because the Interim Climate Commission people said the first priority is to get the transport electric. They said after that, tackle the emissions coming from generation of power. So,
Well, I guess what I mean in terms of infrastructure, though, is because you need charging ports for large vehicles.
That
and
as well.
I don't know if we have that kind of infrastructure in place already.
I haven't seen any, although I believe the government's done a bit about it, but I've never seen an electric charging thing anywhere.
Is that something you'd be pushing for?
For private vehicles, absolutely, you'd need that.
As well as
people being able to afford them, which the government's made a move in that direction too. But none of this is climate emergency. It's just tinkering as far as I'm concerned.
What other kind of steps do you think need to be taken in terms of making Auckland a city that is really managing this climate emergency that we're in?
Well, apart from the traffic, that's the first thing. The other major thing to do is allow nature to regenerate wherever possible, to grow native trees as well. We need strict building codes to make sure that buildings that are being built are climate friendly. You need to also, there are some farms, in the Auckland region, so they need to be brought up to speed on the regeneration side, and also not overdoing it with the cows. Mm.
Well, yeah, I think farming is always an interesting one that people bring up in terms of discussing the climate emergency.
It's not a major one in Auckland, but there
not
are,
a major
it is,
one, but it
is a factor
in terms of just Aotearoa on the whole.
Eating meat and drinking dairy. Drinking milk.
Yeah. I think what a lot of people do touch on there is trying to get that change happening for farmers, but I'm not quite sure really there's a tangible blueprint for how farmers make themselves more sustainable. Do you have any ideas in that way?
Well, I think that Fonterra is actually starting to get a plan for each farm, which I think is also recommended by some climate scientists. So I think that's the way to go. Help each farmer to make their farm viable, sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So allow the regeneration, don't increase the cows, decrease if possible, and so on.
Also, in terms of a few big issues that we have with this local election, conversations around rates, for instance, are the rates something you'd be looking to increase?
Well, I don't really have enough knowledge being outside the council and not being a ratepayer, not having the privilege to be a ratepayer so far, owning a property, to comment on the rates exactly, except to say that ratepayers, from my perspective, are the more well-off people in Auckland. And I think many of them wouldn't mind paying extra towards the climate emergency if they knew something was really being done about it. So it's possible that to deal with this emergency, we would need to put the rates up. I don't know, would have to be done in concert with the central government, probably, because it's a national problem.
I suppose when thinking about rates, though, what does spring to mind is if rates go up, that does typically mean that that expense can go on to the renters. So we could be looking at an increase in rental prices in Auckland. Is that a concern for you?
Well, yes, it would be, because I rent it.
Yes.
But at the same time, my major concern in life at the moment is to please do something about the climate. So if my rent went up $40 a week, something, because of that, I would I'd do my part. But at the same time, the government would have to take care of the poorer people because, you know, that's not fair to them.
Yeah.
As a pensioner, I think I'm reasonably well off.
In terms of poorer people, how would you like council to be working to make life easier for them?
I suppose my major focus there is the people who are actually on the street, who haven't got homes. So that was actually my third policy. My second one was the environment, and the third one was taking care of the homeless people. So they're the ones that I think need homes, really. So that would be another priority for me if I, by miraculously won the office, I would immediately start going to see those people on the streets and asking them what they need and helping them to find houses and get help. So from that point of view. The other thing is that the public transport should be free. So if that happened, as well as free and electric, that would be marvellous because people could go everywhere, the economy would improve, the pollution would disappear because people would be going on the transport, public transport, not the cars. So it would just be a marvellous change. I would really like that.
That's quite a expensive
program, probably.
Incredibly expensive in terms of wanting to shift electric vehicles, shift our public transportation towards electric vehicles, but as well as make it free. Is it tangible, really?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't know until I got into office, until I saw what the possibilities were, talk to the other councillors, the officers. We have to communicate with the central government because, as I said, we need a revolution and we need it quickly if we're going to save the climate. So if there's some investment should happen now, it's with the transport and with reducing the pollution coming from farms. So those are the two issues that really need to be tackled.
Do you have any other policies towards the homeless situation in Auckland besides just speaking with them directly and trying to find houses?
No, I think if you have a roof over your head, that's pretty marvellous. Not having one must be horrendous. They also need, probably, I mean, as I said, I'd ask them what they need, if they need psychological help or help to get a job, those sort of things. I think going to people personally and talking to them is the way to help with situations rather than just a top-down imposition. Yeah,
so that's the way I would tackle it. Is that potentially too big a job for just the mayor, though?
Well, I mean, if I were elected, I would take it seriously and I would do that. I mean, hopefully I would have some people to help me as well.
Yeah,
and of course, speak to the city mission and others to as well for their input. Yeah.
Another thing I want to touch on is waste and recycling, because as we both know, I'm sure, Auckland has a huge problem with that. I believe it's $14 billion for us to really clean up the number of landfills we have in Auckland. And we do have a problem with recycling in terms of not really having a plan going forward. Do you have any ideas for policies around that?
Well, I read in The Guardian quite a while ago that two cities in Europe have reduced their waste to like 5% or something, and they do it with a really intricate sorting system. So there are sorting bins on the streets and the whole population's involved, and so the sorting is precise, and they, you know, they've just worked through that. So I would be interested in looking at that and introducing that, so sorting it in the first place. Also, the other thing is I would like to have a rubbish conference, and I'd ask the retailers, the manufacturers, the green groups, and say to them, how are we going to stop the stuff being produced in the first place? Supermarkets, for goodness sake, stop all this packaging, that kind of attitude. I'd also like to stop water bottles, drink bottles, plastic bottles, it, altogether, like the plastic bags, because they take 450 years to break down a landfill, and that's just ridiculous, and you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a serious issue, absolutely.
Do you think it isn't being taken seriously enough?
I think it's taken seriously. People take things seriously, but they don't actually really do, to a degree. But to actually do something about it, you have to be motivated and you have to really feel it strongly, you know. So that's what I see with a lot of the councillors. Yeah, they'll say stuff, and that's the same with politicians. But actually doing something about it is another step, and it involves effort and change and energy and focus and those things.
Something else I might touch on in terms of this local election. How have you personally found the media coverage as of late around this election?
Oh, I think it's abysmal. It's just like there are only two candidates, the whole focus is on them. So we have the two blokes battling it out day in, day out, week in, week out. And the rest of us are just left in the dark. So that's the, to me, it's a stitch-up, because Phil Goss, representing the Labour Party, and John Tamihere, even though he was a Labour minister, he's got a national team helping him, and his policies are sort of more national, right-wing. They've got it sewn up, really. So at the first of all, I thought, oh, maybe I can have a chance. But then when I saw the media game... This is nowhere. But anyway, the good thing is that, I suppose, regardless of that, there's heaps of neighbourhood meetings, students, all inviting everybody to come along and do their thing. So I've been to several of those, and I've got chances to give speeches, which I haven't done before, overcoming fear in that direction. So that's all good. So I appreciate, you know, people do want to have democracy, but the media is somehow... sold their soul to these parties, so what can you do? I don't know. I'll mention it.
Is there anything else you want to touch on before I kind of shift into my last question in terms of policies or extra comments you want to make?
No, I can't really think, because I'm kind of stressed about the whole thing. This is the first time I've been to an interview. I mean, I think it's much easier to be a journalist than answering the questions, but I'm really concerned about the climate. That's the main thing I want to say.
It seems to be your primary focus in terms of issues. Do you? It seems to be kind of a single issue candidacy you're going for. Do you see these ideas applying to the whole of Auckland?
Oh yeah, for sure. All of the Auckland region, yeah. Revolution, mate. Yeah.
revolution. Advocating for revolution.
Yeah.
The last thing I guess I'll get you to tell us is, in terms of this interview, what are you hoping that people take away from listening to it?
Well, I hope that I've transmitted my heartfelt concern about the environment and the climate, and the fact that we really have to do something serious about this, not just muddle around on the edges like what is happening. And if they would like to vote for me, that would be wonderful. But, you know, that's their right to whatever they think is best. Is, you know, good.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.